Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello and welcome to episode 166 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host Dave and I have with me Daryl. How are you doing, Daryl?
I'm doing great.
Good, good, good. It's been a busy week, what with Comic-Con going on in San Diego this week. So what have you been up to?
Indeed, other than writing lots and lots of content for our coverage.
Yes.
Over at Hollywood News Source. This week, I've been watching a show called Ghost Wars, and that's available through Netflix, so it's a sci-fi original.
Yes.
And it stars Aya Ventura.
Right, yeah.
And her name escapes me, but she was the reason I went to watch it. And it's about a outsider in a small town in Alaska who has psychic powers and has to help his town after a supernatural event.
Right, yeah. It got canned after one season, didn't it? This one, I think.
I don't know if it's canned if it's just a one-off.
Because right, okay.
It was part of Sci-Fi's 21 Days of Halloween thing.
Okay.
Where they loads of Halloween-related movies and stuff. And yeah, it could have been meant for that. I was not sure.
It is definitely only going to be one season.
Definitely only one season. Oh yeah, and it's the other person I'm trying to remember is Elise Gatien, who I happened to see in Colony.
Okay.
I'll get to that later.
Yes,
but yeah. So, I've only watched one episode. It's super cheesy sci-fi stuff with noticeable green screen.
Right.
And like noticeable green screen in like strange places where you wouldn't think.
Okay.
I mean, the one that speaks out to me is there's a point where the main character is at a bus stop.
Right.
Talking to his friend. And you can see it's playing the green screen. So like the bus stop is real, but the background, which is like Anchorage or Alaska, is clearly green screened in. And I'm like,
probably because it's shot in Vancouver, I would imagine.
I mean, there must be small towns near Vancouver.
There's
plenty of like other outside shots featuring the actual actors.
Yeah, yeah.
That are in that same sort of place. I just looked at it. Why do you have green screen there? I like good B movie stuff from sci-fi. They know how to make. I like cheaply made thing, and it's got an amazing. It's got Vincent D'Onofrio in it.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio, Kim Coates from Sons of Anarchy is in there. Created by Simon Barry, who's the man behind Continuum, which was a great series.
Yeah, it doesn't get up those heights, I'm afraid.
Yeah, which is
a shame.
Doesn't
quite get there.
Yeah.
It's also got Ludwig Peterson, who is in Continuum. So I'm definitely going to watch it all the way through. It's a lot of fun.
That's on Netflix, as you say.
Yeah, it's a bit, yes. Over here, it's available on Netflix.
Interesting. I think I was going to watch the first episode of it, and then I heard it was cancelled, and there was other things getting in the way, and I decided not to.
There's a lot of shows I just give up. If I hear them cancelled before I get to mine, I just go, no, it's just not worth my time.
Enough
time of the day with all the other things that I want to do.
Yes, exactly. What else this week?
The other one is My Hero Academica.
Right,
which is an anime, and it's currently season 3, and you can get it through Crunchyroll by signing up there.
Yes, yeah.
Or you can also, if you look around, you should be able to get a 30-day free trial.
Okay, yeah.
Basically, it's set in a world where 80% of the world's population has what they call quirks, which are basically superpowers.
Right.
In that, they have a system where superheroes are regulated. To become one, you have to go to school to become a superhero.
Right.
And it's a story of a kid and all he goes through to become one. And it's pretty much the hottest new anime, even though it's not particularly new as it's in its third season, so it must have been out. It's been out for probably 3 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. It's based on a manga, so the manga's further ahead. But yeah, that's definitely something you'd see if you look around SDC, they're plenty of cosplays for the major characters from there.
Right.
It's just a lot of fun. You know, it's that wholesome stuff, trying your hardest. I wouldn't want to give it any too much weight to say it's definitely worth a watch if you like that sort of thing. The art style is great. The characters are interesting, and it's just a lot of fun. And yeah, you can get on Crunchyroll.
I've seen Crunchyroll around a bit. I don't watch really very much anime, so maybe that's one I should go and look
at. I generally watch a lot of, I haven't watched in the last couple of seasons, but I get through a lot of anime.
Yes, Crunchyroll's definitely worth it if you're definitely into your anime. Crunchyroll's a really good place to get anime from. Anything else?
The other thing was a Homecoming podcast. I became aware of this while covering the San Diego Comic Con news because it's being made into a television show starring Julia Roberts.
Yes, yeah.
So I figured, why not pick up the thing? It's 6 episodes, and I think it's got another season. But I've gone for the first season, and it's quite interesting. I guess you'd call it sort of a thriller, maybe psychological thriller, based around a counselor working with men returning from combat and trying to settle him back at home.
Yeah, I mean, so is the podcast like a drama, or is it a real life thing?
So it's a drama.
Right.
But what it does is that you only hear phone calls.
Right.
Phone calls, audio recordings, and like one-on-one conversations. It's like snippets pulled out of a story.
Okay. Interesting.
So it's very interesting. You really have to pay attention to sort of go pluck things from episode 1, episode 2, and put them together and then start to understand, oh, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was interesting. Half-hour episodes around that.
Right.
Yeah. So I would recommend it. I don't know if upon listening to it, whether I would necessarily immediately say, yeah, this should be turned into a TV show. Because I think there's a lot of unique selling points here that just wouldn't work in a TV conversion.
Right,
unless it was like really, really experimental, like on a Legion level of experimental.
They're sort of heading in that direction because the guy they hired to direct the TV version, TV version's coming to Amazon Prime. It's called Homecoming. Yeah. 2nd of November that starts. Stars Julia Roberts as main protagonist in it. Directed by Sam Ishmael, who is the creator of Mr. Robot. He's not actually created the series, but he is directing it. So that would fit in with the type of direction you're talking about, I think. That sort of makes sense. So,
that sounds good then. I can,
I think that looks like it could be quite an interesting show. It's certainly one that I'm going to take a look at, I think, because just for having Sam Ishmael attached to it, Mr. Robot's so brilliantly done. I think this could be a kind of interesting one, given that what you've just said about it. So, and I like psychological thrillers, which is what they're pitching it as.
Yeah.
So yes, I think that's one to look out for. There's been a surprising number of new shows and seasons coming back in this past week, considering we're into middle of July. So I've had quite a lot to get through this week. Lucky Man came back for its third season, so I started watching that, which takes things in a very interesting kind of new direction, because you've got the main character is now on the run, having been accused of murder, and it's his ex-partner that's now got to chase him down. So they end up opening the season with them going to Japan and him kind of trying to find out more about the bracelet and that sort of stuff. There's an interesting little twist at the end of that as well. So that's really well worth watching. I mean, if you've not seen the first couple of seasons, they're only about 6 episodes long anyway. So they're well worth going to.
I've only seen the first like 2 episodes.
Right, okay. It is well worth going through, because, I mean, there's only about 12 episodes, like I say, in total. They're only about 6 or 8 episodes each. So there's not that much to get through if you want to go on and finish watching that. We did a panel with them at Comic-Con in London back in May, and we've only had the chance to put that up this week, because it was all embargoed until the week of broadcast. Yeah,
I do remember that it was there.
Yeah, so we had to hold off on it, but the panel is now up on the website. You've got to go back a couple of pages because there's so much San Diego Comic-Con stuff up this week, but it is up on the website. If you just go on and search for Lucky Man, that will come up as the top search result. Go and check out the panel for that, and go watch the show, because that's back on Sky One now. Suits returned for season 8, so this is the first season without Patrick and Megan, and have to say, I was pleasantly surprised by that first episode. It's still got all the power that it had before. You're really not missing either of those characters, surprisingly. There's a good amount of banter between the various other characters that they've got left. Lewis and his I can't remember the character's name, but the sort of blonde assistant that he has that's sort of working with him, they've upped the level of banter between those two quite a lot, so that's worked really, really well. You've got new characters coming in. There's a dynamic shift in the firm with a new boss coming in, so it's changed, but it still feels very much like Suits and doesn't miss those two characters, so I'm very much looking forward to seeing the rest rest of that. Unreal started for its fourth, and what we've now learned is its final season.
Yeah.
We kind of knew that they may be making this the final season because they actually filmed season 3 and 4 very close together. So hopefully they knew it was the final season and it comes to a reasonable conclusion. I mean, each season actually comes to a fairly decent conclusion.
Yeah,
so
as a show, it's sort of it's easier to end it.
Yeah,
it's not like The Flash or something that just feels a bit awkward. It's just pause in the middle of a story.
Yeah,
but yeah, as it's all about covering a season of a show.
Yeah, and they tend to wrap up the characters fairly well at the end of each season, and then they either come back or they don't. So I'm fairly confident it'll end in a pretty reasonable place. But it's a brilliant show. That it's about 10 episodes a season. All the episodes of the full season are now on Amazon Prime UK, so you can go and binge your way through that. Nightfall, I watched the first episode of that. This is the drama about the Knights Templar, which has come to the History Channel in the UK. Came out ages ago. It might have even been last year it came out in the US. So I'm glad that's finally come across. It's good. It's maybe not quite as good as I would have liked it to be. You know, it's not sort of up to Vikings level, but it's still interesting, you know. And it's basically about a bunch of the Knights Templar. Starts off with them losing the Holy Grail, and the rest of the series seems to be about them trying to find it again. You know, it starts off with them losing the Holy Grail, then has like a 4-year time jump, and they're in a different city. I think they're in Paris, and he's dealing with stuff there, and it becomes apparent that one of the guys knows where the Holy Grail is, or thinks he has some idea of where the Holy Grail is. So that's been quite interesting. I'll reserve judgment until I've seen a few more episodes, because I've only seen the first one. Harrow, I watched, which is another medical drama, stars Ewan Gifford in that as Daniel Harrow, who is a forensic pathologist, basically has a complete disregard for authority, but he's sort of very, very good at solving various bizarre cases. So it's got a House-esque element to it. As medical kind of dramas go, it's sort of a medical drama slash thriller. There's a lovely little twist at the end of the first episode to keep you watching. Perfectly fine. It's running on Alibi. It's the type of show you'd expect to find an Alibi. It's been renewed for a second season. First season's only 10 episodes. But if you're into your sort of medical dramas and your sort of thriller Alibi-esque medical dramas, well worth going to watch that one. And Who is America, which is the Sacha Baron Cohen show, which started on season one. I don't want to say I enjoyed it so much as kind of you're watching it just doesn't seem quite right to say you enjoyed it, because it's so cringy just watching it behind your hands going, how on earth is he getting away with this? I mean, I won't go into any detail because, you know, we're a family podcast, and I don't think, and some of the bits on there really aren't appropriate for a family podcast, but just fascinating to see what he gets away with. It just goes to show you that some people will do anything to kind of get on TV and just will believe anything you throw at them. It's phenomenal. It really is. I know it's not got the as numbers as high as they would like in the US, but I'm intrigued to see just where they go next with it, because it's basically him taking on various different personas and tricking people on both the left and the right of the political spectrum into doing incredibly stupid things. It's bizarre, funny. As I say, there are some bits I find really difficult to watch, and you're like, just how is he getting away with this? But worth seeing if you like Sacha Baron Cohen, particularly if you like those sort of shows. Just phenomenal. So that's all I've been watching this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news. So we'll kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. First one is a cancellation. I think it's the only cancellation we've got this week, which is nice. But Colony has been cancelled after 3 seasons, basically due to a dramatic fall in ratings in the US. USA Network, which is the place that carries it. It went from basically being the number one cable network show to being bottom of the TV dramas in 3 seasons. So
that surprises me.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm worse than that. I mean, surprised me that it was the top overrated because it's a strange show. It's a show that I would look at and I would think that not many people would watch it. I watched it and I quite enjoy the first two seasons. It doesn't have exactly mass appeal. It reminds me, it's sort of like a Hard Science Falling Skies, if you remember that show.
Yeah.
With Noah Wiley.
Falling Skies is a great show as well, but yeah, I know. It's quite a broad sci-fi show.
Yeah, the first season of Falling Skies was awful.
But
it got so much better and the lore got in there and
I've been watching it. It is one of those shows that I think I've got about halfway through season two and then other things got in the way and I haven't gone back to it yet.
That's the thing. I tend to, with both seasons, I marathon them because it's not a show you can watch weekly because it's quite... You got to prepare yourself because it's really negative and terrible things happen to people and everyone dies. You really need to sit down, grab some popcorn, crank your way through like half a season of it, and then watching it every week, I think will just be bad. for my mood.
It is a show which doesn't really have that many positives in it. So I mean, I found it enjoyable, but
I definitely enjoyed it. And I think it's a shame. To see it go.
It is. Because it's interesting and it's sort of interesting sci-fi. So it made it to three seasons before they cancelled it. Yeah. Third season hasn't aired in the UK yet.
Yeah. Well, what I've read about the third season, it seems like they knew it was coming because a lot of people said that the third season feels like three of them. If you think of things as pods, it feels like four or five pods within like 13 episodes, I think.
Okay.
13, something like that. So it looked like they're rushing to the end.
There's
a lot of mysteries in that show.
Yeah, they also had to make some changes as well because they lost their LA tax credit after the second season. So the third season, they moved to Vancouver. So they had to make some changes to how they shot it as well. Maybe that was part of it as well. But
at the end of season two, they sort of gave a good reason for moving out of LA.
Right, okay, fair enough. So yes, Colony has gone. The next one, very unfortunate if you're a Virgin Media customer,
I was sharing about this today. I listened to the radio. They're talking about this.
Yes.
And what customers of Virgin Media should do.
Yeah. The Virgin Media has lost all 10 of the UK TV channels. So that's Dave, Drama, Home, Really, Yesterday, Gold, Alibi, Eden, Good Food, and W. They've lost all those channels after a carriage disagreement between Virgin and UK TV. Apparently, like half the UK TV channels are actually free to air channels. And Virgin were prepared to keep all the free to air channels, but UK TV were basically holding, according to Virgin anyway, UK TV were holding the free-to-air channels to ransom unless they paid over the odds for the non-free-to-air channels. So Virgin went, stuff you, we're not going to take anything then.
I hear there's also got the BBC and people who are behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And they have an agreement with Netflix.
Okay.
So I think that has brought things into it as well. So,
okay, interesting.
A lot of thickens.
Yes.
Who'd have thought TV would have all this intrigue?
I know. The moment, I mean, the free-to-air channels, which doesn't include Alibi, unfortunately, I don't think it includes W either, but I think it's Dave, Drama, Home and Really, and Yesterday, I think, are the free-to-air ones. They can all be found on Freeview, but you can't actually tape stuff off Freeview unless you've got a Freeview box that's got like a USB thing. They're also, all those channels, I think all the channels are on Now TV, but a lot of the shows, like the Alibi shows, don't end up on the catch-up system. So you can only watch them live. So that's a problem as well. So things like Quantico, which run on Alibi, you can't get on the catch-up system.
Okay, I get it.
So that's a problem as well. You can wait it out. It may be that they come to an agreement and come back, or it's try and find them through Freeview or move to Sky, I guess. hopefully they'll... I mean, usually when these carriage disagreements happen, eventually they come back round again and they come back on. But how long that will take, who knows? Moving on, Winona Earp has been renewed for a fourth season. I can't believe that's at four seasons already.
Yeah, well, they've just started airing season three in the US, and it will obviously start this week here in the UK.
Yeah.
But there was a concerted fan effort, and it's been going on for months to get Sci-Fi to agree to season four.
Right, okay.
And you see... obviously worked. So
yeah, definitely.
But the thing is, the show has been by far and away the most successful sci-fi property. It's started several fan organized conventions around the world.
Right.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's absolutely huge.
Yeah, definitely. There is a fan base there. I've seen a few episodes of it, and again, it's one that I quite enjoyed, but other things got in the way, and I didn't get back to it. So I may go and pick that up at some point. Man in the High Castle has been renewed for a fourth season. They've also announced the third season will start on Amazon Prime on the 5th of October as well, which I'm very happy about. I enjoy that show quite a lot. One of the big announcements from Comic-Con this weekend is Star Wars The Clone Wars is back for a new season. If you remember, I think it did six seasons and then was cancelled, and then there was a few kind of additional episodes which came out afterwards.
I don't remember there being any other episodes. I know books came out.
Okay, maybe that
there
was it.
There were books based on the sort of content that was already written for the final season.
Got you. So that is coming back for a new season. It's coming to Disney's streaming service, direct-to-consumer streaming service, so which we don't know what's going to happen with that in the UK yet either. We don't really know much about what it's going to happen with that in the US. We don't even have a name for it, but it's one of the shows that's going to be coming onto the streaming service when that gets launched. So that's going to be end of next year, I think, sometime. So it's not coming anytime soon, but it does mean that they will be able to finish that story off rather than leaving it in the air as it was. Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles has finally landed on a network. It's going to Hulu, which I think is a perfectly fine place for that to end up. This is the show being written by Christopher Rice, who is the son of Anne Rice, along with sort of help from Anne. It's been in development for a while. It's based around the Vampire Lestat. That's where they're starting it, on the book The Vampire Lestat, which sort of makes sense because the Vampire Lestat book actually is set before Interview with the Vampire, even though Interview with the Vampire is the first book written in the series. But Vampire Lestat actually starts earlier than that. So they're doing it chronologically rather than in the book order, by the sounds of it. And also, in fact, of course, there was a big movie based on that as well. Mm-hmm. So it means they're not treading over old ground immediately when they bring the series. So that's been put into development now at Hulu. It's still in development. We don't know whether it will go to series, but at least it will hopefully get piloted now. Marvel's Iron Fist is coming on the 7th of September. So that's actually earlier than we were expecting. So
indeed,
they may be sneaking another one in before the end of the year as well.
There's been a lot of talk that maybe they're going to push another one to make it four Netflix Marvel shows this year, which would be very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they are shooting them very, very close together. Having spoken to a number of the people working behind the scenes on those Marvel Netflix shows, like the costume designers and stuff, whereas before you'd have one costume designer or, you know, one makeup person that was jumping between shows, now they've hired extra people. So you've got people now working on one or two shows rather than one person working across all of them. Mm-hmm. They are trying to do everything they can to speed up the production so they can get more of these out a year. Yeah, hopefully we'll see another one before the end of the year. But Iron Fist coming on the 7th of September. Danny Rand kind of redeemed himself a little bit, I think, in Luke Cage and The Defenders.
Yeah, I think there are certain people who are never going to get behind Danny Rand. It's a troubled character archetype.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of the actor and the writing, I think they've done as much as they can.
Yeah.
Short of scrapping the character entirely and changing his race, I don't think there's anything else they can do for the character. At this point, do you accept him or you don't?
Yeah, exactly. I certainly think he came across a lot better outside of his own series than he did in his own series. And the latest trailer seems to look like they've maybe sorted that out a little bit. So, I mean, it certainly was the weakest of the four original season ones. So hopefully season two will push it forward a little bit more and it will make a few changes, and we'll see how that comes out when it arrives in September. One to look out for if you like those shows. Discovery of Witches, which is based on the very popular novel series, that is premiering on Sky One and Now TV on the 14th of September at 9 p.m. Quite an early announcement for this for them, but this has been very, very popular whenever I posted news about it. So I know there are a lot of people looking forward to that. Over on YouTube, YouTube Premium has renewed Impulse for a second season, which I haven't watched the first one. I have got a YouTube Premium membership now, but I still haven't gotten around to watching anything.
I've watched it, and I would say it's an amazing show. I haven't seen anything else of interest on YouTube Premium, but Impulse is amazing. It's probably one of those things probably for teenagers and up, like 14 right. up, because of the subject area is quite troubling, but it's an amazingly well-written show. It's a great plot. I'm really happy to hear that it's coming back for a second season.
I need to go and start watching some of the YouTube Premium stuff, because there's a new show they announced actually at Comic-Con, which looks quite interesting. We'll come on to that in a bit. And Marvel's Cloak and Dagger has been renewed for a second season, so you get to write lots more reviews of them pondering around.
Yeah, of mind spaces and metaphors and stuff like that. And I think, to be fair, this show was renewed back when they started season one, and it's just a case of this is probably the best time to release that information.
Yes.
Yeah. It seems to me that Marvel has very strict control on anything ABC does, so there's no way this was getting cancelled. They released a poster for season two, which has a tagline, I think, "There Will Be Mayhem," which is a reference to the vigilante identity of one of their supporting characters in the show.
Right, yeah.
Maybe more actual things might happen.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it is very slow going. The episode, which has just gone out.
I think it's one of those things where you just have to, it's one of those where you have to take the first season in order to set it up to make it a more watchable show.
Yeah, it was a bit like Runaways was, although Runaways at least was a little bit faster. But
I really liked Runaways because it was exactly fast. But I guess if from a comic book standpoint, because pretty much the whole of season one, for anyone who read the comic, would appear to be a prequel.
Yes.
Because it's before everything really happens for them. So I guess it's like that.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, the latest episode that just gone out in the UK, we've just had him finally donning the cloak in that episode. And so episode eight, I think we're on now.
Yeah, it's the same as the US. I think it's only just a few days back. Yeah, exactly. This is pretty much the first episode where we see he has control of his power.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about the fact that he reveals his powers and then we go away.
Yeah,
So we have absolutely no feedback from the people who he reveals his powers to. They just skip over that, which to me is insane.
They do seem to just roll with the fact that they've just seen a guy appear and disappear.
I understand in terms of like the time that happens afterwards, but it would be nice to see someone react to someone who can teleport. Because yes, we've had the incident, we've had all that, but that's still just a teenage kid in New Orleans who can teleport.
Yes, exactly. So
and or show you your greatest fears.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that it would feel like just one season. It'll feel like one continuous story.
I hope so. We'll have to wait and see. Moving on, of course, it was San Diego Comic Con this week, so there was a whole bunch of news that came out from Comic-Con, particularly a shed load of trailers, all of which are up on the site if you want to go and have a look at them. First couple of trailers, Aquaman, that came out, and Shazam got a trailer as well. I take it you've seen both of these.
I don't watch blockbuster trailers, so I haven't watched either of them.
Okay.
You nearly always get some of the best scenes in the film trailer.
I'm very much the same, although I tend to watch the first one. I refuse to watch them as they get further closer to the release.
Oh yeah, when you get to like the third trailer and you realise you've just watched 20 minutes worth of...
exactly. Footage. Well, I mean, I think the worst one of that for me was Justice League, where they revealed a massive spoiler in one of the trailers. And you're like, really? You put that in the trailer? You know, you couldn't have left that for the film? So,
Well, there's this well-known thing that, you know, publicity and the people who make trailers are two separate bodies.
I know. I'm aware of that.
I wish that wasn't the case.
I'm aware of that, but you would have thought that, you know, somebody at the studio would have gone, no, probably shouldn't put that bit in. But anyway, so the Aquaman and the Shazam trailers, one of the nice things about these is there's actually humour in them.
In both of them. I've seen all the reviews of the Shazam trailer talking that makes a lot of reference to humour, given who Shazam is.
Yeah, Shazam Shazam almost comes across as the Tom Hanks movie Big if he'd been a superhero.
which is
basically is what it is. It very much comes across in that ground, which is no bad thing as far as I'm concerned. Zach is fabulous as this sort of adult playing a child. I think he's brilliant at it. It has that feel of being the sort of Ant-Man of the DC universe. It's far more comedy with some action than a sort of dour action film, which I think is great. definitely the way they should go with it. I like the fact that the costume for Shazam looks kind of like it's designed by a 10-year-old that thinks what a superhero costume is like. It's kind of bright and sparkly, and it kind of fits.
And when you think about it, that, you know, that's like from what, the 40s?
Yeah.
In
yeah.
40 comics before it was taken by DC. So that's really going back to the golden age.
Yeah.
And you see, you look at that, and they can look at like the first Superman cartoon, and you have, you know, the guy with, you know, huge chest,
yeah,
massive, massive jaw, just that sort of look, that heroic look.
Yeah, but it does work really well. I mean, I know some people, when I posted it, there were some people going, oh, this looked terrible. I thought it was brilliant. It was funny, made me laugh at various points in the trailer. It's well worth going to watch, particularly if you're a fan of Zack's. I thought it was really good. Aquaman looks very much like a more of a sort of action thing. I really rather enjoyed it. There's some great moments of humor. Jason Momoa, I think he's really good in that role. The one issue I do have with it is it basically looks like a prequel to the Justice League movie. And this has sort of always been the problem with the DC stuff, is that Justice League movie shouldn't have happened. Well, I'm not sure. It's difficult to
tell.
Because it
seems like when he goes down there in that movie, spoiler alert, people.
Yeah.
It seems like that's the first time that he meets Mira.
Yeah, it does.
So it seems like that. So it seems like the Aquaman movie is set after that.
Yeah, it does. I mean, so you've sort of got the Justice League movie, which introduces Aquaman, but then you've got this, which feels like almost like it should have been an origin story beforehand, but it looks like it might be set afterwards.
I think it is set afterwards.
Because this is about him probably becoming the king of Atlantis, which is basically the sort of plot of the film. I have to say Black Manta looks great, despite the fact that he looks really strange in the comic books. I think they've done a really good job in bringing that to life on screen.
That is a hell of a costume.
Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of a costume, and they seem to have done pretty well in bringing that alive on screen. The underwater stuff, I thought, worked pretty well. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that lands with people, but I like the fact that it tonally, it's a lot lighter than the Supermans and your Batmans. It feels more Marvel-y in its tone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a good mix of action and humour in it. So, I'll be interested to see what they actually do with that. Sticking with DC, there were, of course, a trailer for Titans, which came out.
I have seen that one.
What do you think of this?
I thought, oh, it's dark. Can't see a darn thing. And that's going to be the case of the entire show. It's going to be X-Files all over again.
Right.
Other than that, I thought, like, it's an interesting choice to take Titans, given all that's connected to Titans.
Yes.
It's like the DC kiddie brand, and go, let's make an adult version of this.
Yeah.
To me, it seems an odd choice.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean
especially when there are other young DC teams.
Yeah.
I'd look at it and go, that's very strange.
And, I mean, you are talking it being, I guess, at least a 12, probably a 15 rated.
I would say it looks like a 15.
Yeah.
Although there is some discussion about whether or not he kills those people.
Yes.
Whereas I watched it and went, no, they're dead. But then I've read everywhere, so no, they're just unconscious. I'm like, okay, they look pretty dead.
I don't know.
I wouldn't want to 12-year-old watching that.
Yeah.
Someone with a 12-year-old, I would not want them watching that show.
It's fairly violent. There's some very salty language, although that did make me laugh, that line, when it came out. And I'm not sure whether it was supposed to make me laugh or it's supposed to at least shock, I suspect.
I think it is supposed to make. Go, oh, okay.
Yeah, so it certainly, that one particular line certainly sets the tone, where he mouths off at Batman. Not that we see Batman, or somebody says, where's Batman? His response is fairly curt, shall we say. It is a very interesting choice, considering, you know, you've got Teen Titans Go coming out as a much different other end of the scale cartoon series or movie.
And it's a brand that's been around for, what, 6 years or something like that? It's been around for a very time.
So it seems
a very strange way to sell it.
Yes, it's a very interesting choice. At the moment, of course, we don't know what's going to happen with the DC Universe, their streaming services, which is where this lands. We don't know what's going to happen internationally with that yet.
So we don't even have to worry about ever watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I do hope that they, at least when this launches sometime in the autumn in the US, I hope that at that point they then tell us what the international rollout's going to be, if not before. Otherwise, any show that's on that platform is going to get pirated to death by them. We'll see what happens with that. Also on there, they have announced that they're doing, or they have in production, a live-action Stargirl series, again from Jess Johns and Greg Berlanti, as Teen Titans is, or Titans is, the TV show.
So is that going to the DC thing as well, stream service?
That will be on the streaming service, the Stargirl series, I think. That, I think, is interesting because we have seen Stargirl already in the...
Legends, doesn't she turn up in Legends?
Yeah, she turns up in Legends. Don't know whether this is going to be connected to it in some way.
I would suspect not.
As a given that with Titans, they seem to be going much darker.
Isn't that Stargirl from the 40s?
Yes, but it sounds like this may be as well. I mean, they're saying that the DC Universe series reimagined Stargirl and the very first superhero team, the Justice Society of America. Okay. So it isn't, although they're basing it around Stargirl, it sounds like it is Stargirl and the JSA as the basis for the series. So could be the same cast and set in that same universe. We don't know that, but that seems to be maybe the way they're working. Stargirl was played by Sarah Gray in Legends of Tomorrow. It's not clear whether they are going to go for the same cast or whether they're going to go for a new cast, although...
might be a new cast, given that if you think about it now, it's 2 years out from premiere. It would seem like they'd probably have to recast the role.
And Sarah Gray has also got another series, which is a Netflix series, The Order, she's on at the moment. So it's likely there's probably going to be a new cast for that. Yeah. But it is in development, so we'll see where that one goes. Over on the CW, they announced a Batwoman series, which we know Batwoman's popping up in the crossover.
I was very surprised for this. Yeah. I had a friend of mine who literally the moment it was announced that Batwoman was coming thing kept on messaging me saying, oh, there's going to be a new Batwoman show, and I'm like, nah, there won't be a new Batwoman show, there's no space for it. He's like, oh, there'll definitely be a new Batwoman show, just you wait. And boom, he was right and I was very much wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder if maybe they're thinking of wrapping up Arrow possibly, and this could go in as a replacement, because they've talked about this season of Arrow maybe being a final season, although there's no decision made one way or another. But
I have many questions about the show, though. Primarily, what earth will it be based on? It's a CW show, so it has to be based on an earth. So what earth is it going to be based on?
Okay. Well, it's got to be...
Is it Earth 1? Because that's problematic. There's no Bat mythos in Earth 1. There isn't Earth S.
Well, there is.
No, there's absolutely no reference to a Batman in Earth 1. There's reference to Bruce Wayne. That's not the same thing. No reason for someone in theory to choose to be that without having an existing thing. In the same way that, you know, there'd be no reason for Kara to call herself Supergirl if there wasn't already a Superman.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it probably will be on the same Earth as Arrow, Flash,
Yeah.
But they've just not referenced Batman so far.
That would be a hard pill to swallow after 6 years.
Especially maybe.
They've made many references to the fact that Central City and Star City, those are the first places to have these sorts of vigilantes. So if they've had a Batman operated for like 20 plus years, that's troublesome.
Well, I mean, we'll find out, I guess, when we get to the crossover event.
Yep.
Because they are going to Gotham in the crossover event.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's also interesting to note that the CW casting of Batwoman is for a lead, which is an interesting choice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in the same way that Supergirl has, Supergirl's just cast this a trans girl as a trans character. They seem to be trying to find actors and actresses that are fully representing in real life and on screen for whatever their sexuality, which I think is a positive thing.
I think so.
This show that's coming up, it comes from writer-producer Caroline Dreyas, who previous work includes Vampire Diaries, Melrose Place and Smallville. So, you know, she's done a bit of work in DC and in genre series as well. Greg Berlanti's producing, obviously. Jeff Johns is still behind it. So, we'll see what happens with it. I honestly don't know. I mean, it's in development, so there's no guarantee it will go to series. But usually with Berlanti, given that he basically produces half the shows on the network at this point, I suspect it will at least get piloted, unless they use the crossover event as a pilot. So, They are casting Batwoman at the moment, obviously, because they need her for the crossover first. The crossover as well, they did also mention that Legends won't be involved in the crossover event this year.
Mainly
due to logistics. I don't mind that so much because, you know, they've said that characters may pop in, but they're not going to have like the whole of Legends involved in the crossover, basically. Because
I think that's fine, especially as they've said it this far up front. I think if it was closer... Say if it was September and they're telling us this, I would understand fans might get upset. But, you know, now that we know now, I think that's fine. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And it is a huge problem having time travelers in a huge event.
Yeah.
Because they can obviously easily fix anything that goes wrong.
Yeah. And there are a lot of characters. It's one thing, you know, to bring Barry across and, you know, to bring Oliver across and Kara over, because that's three characters that you can bring in the crossover series plus. Yeah. A few extra people. If you bring Legends, you sort of end up having to bring all of them. So that's a bit more of an issue. So I think it will upset some people that maybe you're not going to have Katie Lotz's character coming across.
That's my only issue with it.
Yeah, maybe she'll come over.
I constantly want more Katie Lotz.
Maybe she will come over and the others won't. But the moment they're saying that Legends won't be involved. Over on CBS, Discovery got a season 2 trailer, which... I watched
that.
What do you think? Hyped.
There's obviously like a guy there who just sits there and just makes those sorts of things. Trailers that could be a trailer you use while down the gym while cracking down a sprint. It was the music was there, all the action stuff was there.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I like Discovery.
Yeah.
Discovery was another show that started really slow. But unlike, say, Cloak and Dagger, it actually changed up the pace in the second half of the season. I'm there for it. Just have to see how it goes. I hope it's going to be good. I really want Discovery to be a success. I want to see more Star Trek stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we spoke a few weeks ago. We mentioned they are talking about bringing in some other spin-off series for Star Trek as well, or additional Star Trek series, maybe set in other parts of the timeline and, you know, or set at the Academy, or, you know, there's an animated series being talked about. So there's lots of things out there. With Discovery, few things interesting in the trailer. We get the first look at Anson Mount as Pike, and I really like Anson Mount, and I think he's a great choice for this. And as you can tell in the trailer, it looks like the way that they're getting around the Enterprise stuff and having Pike involved is Pike takes control of the Discovery.
He uses one of those weird directives.
Yes, uses a directive.
They have so many weird directives. It's like, I swear they have a directive for a zombie attack. It's obviously someone in logistics who just never stops planning.
Yeah, so they've got him coming across, and you're starting to see a little bit of change in the uniforms as they kind of, because eventually they have to dovetail into the original series at some point.
But the thing is, it does make sense because of the time jump.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at the end of Discovery, there's a time jump when they return to their old planet. So it makes sense that after everything that happened, that horrific war, they might do something like change up their uniforms.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that sort of all makes sense. I like Anson Mount as Pike. They have said that Spock will be appearing at some point in this series, and they are casting a new actor in the role.
Is it an adult Spock, though? Because they could easily have it be a young Spock, because she says, oh, my foster brother or adopted brother.
But it's only like supposed to be, 10 years before the events of
they can show him as they can have Spock, and they can show it in her flashbacks, is what I'm saying.
That is true. I think it's going to be, but judging by that trailer, it is going to be an adult Spock, and they are casting somebody at it. It would have been nice to see Zachary Quinto come back again, but I get that may also confuse people. So
I think that would be kind of confusing.
I mean, having a new guy play Spock, I think he's perfectly acceptable. We'll have to see who they cast for that. I think they said they have actually cast it. They've just not released who the person is yet.
Okay.
Rebecca Romijn, who was in The Librarians, is also apparently going to be playing Number One, who is the right-hand lady to Captain Pike. She was played by Majel Barrett, wife of Gene Roddenberry in the original series. So that's another one to look out for. She apparently pops up. And they also announced this thing called Short Treks, which are these 10-15 minute like mini episodes, which are going to be looking at the background of some of the characters, just how they got into Starfleet or certain little events. There's one based around Harry Mudd, so he's coming back for a little bit. Just little vignette pieces, mm-hmm. which I think he's interesting as a little companion series. I think that's quite intriguing. Lots of Star Trek stuff coming from that. And over on YouTube, they announced this new original sci-fi drama called Origin, and it stars Tom Felton and Natalia Tenner.
She was in that short-lived sci-fi show with some of the crowd.
Oh, yes, yes, she was. I never saw any of that, but yes, she was. So it follows a group of troubled passengers as they wake up on a damaged spaceship abandoned in deep space, each having left behind a dark past in search of a fresh start on a newly colonized planet. They're desperate to survive at all costs, but as their terrifying situation spirals into paranoia, they come to realize that their greatest threat to their dream of starting over and indeed their lives might actually be within their midst. So when I posted this, a number of people watched it going, it's a bit Dark Matter.
Not really.
I didn't get that, I have to say.
Dark Matter has a very unique point. I have to disagree with that.
I didn't get that either. It's got quite an interesting international cast involved with it as well. So Tom Felton, obviously, from Harry Potter and the Flash. Natalia Tenner was... Game of Thrones, Harry Potter as well. She was in as well. Nora Arnazienda, who was in Zoo. Fraser James from Holby City is in there as well. Madeline Horcher, who was in Grace Point. Belen Fabria, who was in Zoo as well. Another person from Game of Thrones, Johan Hankor Johansson. Jamie Quinn from Bluestone 42. Nina Warrior from Still Open All Hours and EastEnders. So there's a very interesting mix of people that have got involved with this.
Indeed.
But it comes from the producers, Left Bank Pictures and Sony Pictures Television, who are the people behind The Crown and Lost. And it's been directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who was the man that directed Event Horizon. So, it looks kind of interesting. Called Origin. It's coming to YouTube Premium in the autumn. So YouTube Premium seems to work by releasing... They seem to release the first episode...
For free on YouTube.
Yeah.
To suck you in, yeah.
So you can watch the first episode for free on YouTube, and then you either have the option of buying the rest of the season, or you get yourself a YouTube Premiere subscription and you get it all for free. So there's multiple options of how to get hold of that, but it'll be on YouTube. So one to watch out for, that one.
I just want to mention Fox is the Gifted trailer. They dropped that along with a date for season two. That trailer looks amazing. It seems like there's a time jump, which is interesting.
After the events of
season one, the team that we came to love has fractured in two at the end of the season, and we see how those two move forward. It looks like someone gets a pep talk from an X-Man, which is interesting.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I'm really hyped. I'm really looking forward to it coming back.
That's one trailer I've missed so far, so I need to go and find that one. I will go and get that one.
I think that's you and the other trailer that I added. Yeah.
Right, okay. Couple of other big things. Over on the DCCW shows, as I mentioned, the Batwoman crossover, bunch of other things that are happening with those shows. So over on Flash, we get a little bit more information about Nora. The spoilers, if you haven't watched the end of Flash season,
she's excess, which
although I do prefer the moniker, which was the one that she was going after, which is Baby Flash. But that was the thing that when we interviewed her, that she said she wanted to be known as Baby Flash, but excess is the character she's going to be playing.
Just for those comic nerds, obviously the comics, Barry and Iris have twins.
Yes.
Which she isn't. But XS is in fact their descendant a couple more generations down. So maybe their great-great-granddaughter.
Right, okay.
If I remember correctly, I think she might be part of the Legion.
Oh, okay.
So she's that far back.
Right, okay. That's kind of interesting. They do monkey around with characters a little bit.
Yeah. As we can see in the announcement of Cicada.
Yeah.
And they've changed up his backstory quite a bit.
Cicada is going to be played by Chris Klein, who you'll know from American Pie.
I was writing the story and I looked at the name and I went, that name sounds familiar. So I looked at
that's the guy. Yeah.
It sounds really familiar. I should know who that is.
Yeah.
I went, it's the American Pie guy. Okay.
So a lot of those American Pie actors really haven't popped up anywhere else. Little things here and there, but this is the first kind of big thing I've seen him.
So young.
Yeah.
He's nine.
Yeah. So he's described as a grizzled blue-collar everyman whose family's been torn apart by metahumans. Now he seeks to exterminate the epidemic one metahuman at a time. So he's basically a metahuman hating villain that uses like lightning bolt shaped kind of dagger things by the looks of things.
Yeah, which basically look like Flash's emblem.
Yeah, so kind of interesting.
Have some weird energy on them.
Yes, that's going to be the big bad for this season by the looks of things. Over on Arrow, we've got a number of changes. There's a new showrunner behind the camera, Beth Schwartz. And I have to say, having got a bit worn by Arrow over the past few seasons.
Oh, God, yes. It's been phoning in for a couple of seasons. Last season was definitely improvement.
Yeah, and this...
The two previous seasons were phoning it in.
This seems definitely to be an improvement, sort of following the trend from last season. This does seem to me an improvement.
I attended Heroes of Vengeance Fan Fest and I had nearly the entire Arrow cast, I think, except for Echo, Kellum. Pretty much every other word from them was, we have to talk about the new showrunner. So there's obviously a very, very positive vibe going through.
Yeah.
And they're very much looking forward to it. Stephen Amell was very positive about her and very positive about the changes that we will see this season. So,
yeah. I mean,
I'm more than willing to give it a chance. And to be honest, at the beginning of last season, I thought it might be my last season of Arrow, no matter what.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they've got a new showrunner. The trailer does actually look really quite good.
Look at that mysterious Archer B.
We ended up the last season with Oliver. Spoilers again for the last season of Arrow. Oliver came out publicly as Green Arrow at the end of that season, but handed himself over to the FBI to stop the rest of the team going to prison. So we start off this season with him in locked up with a bunch of people that he helped put in prison in the first place. So we've got that. We already know, because we've talked about it before, Colton Hayes is returning as Roy Harper, aka Arsenal. So he's turning up, and he did say that he's not the same person. He again pours praise onto the new showrunner. Beth is a genius. She wrote me a version of the character that's so special it's going to be hard for me to do, but I'm excited to do it. So that sounds really good.
It's going to be strange though, due to the events of last season.
Yeah.
Because obviously Roy comes back and he leaves with Thea and now he's back.
And he's back without Thea, which is kind of interesting. So I do want to see how they're going to handle that. Ricardo Diaz is back as well. And he's got a deadly group of assassins in tow called the Longbow Hunters. That includes Red Dart, Kodiak, and Silencer. Yeah, I mean, you've got villains that are more kind of Arrow's level. You've got clearly a Green Arrow still running around in public, even though Oliver's locked up, supposedly. So we'll see where they go with that.
Hopefully they'll deal with the problems of last season, because last season was far too much about the internal fight of Team Arrow and that just got boring after a while.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because I think Ricardo Diaz was an amazing villain. I don't think they made enough use of him.
I think that's very true. I wasn't sure when they first started with Diaz, but I actually grew to quite like him. Yeah. And he's interesting as well as being kind of Arrow's sort of level in terms of power as well. So you're not having them fighting stupid magical things like they've done with Damian Dark before. Oh, it's, you know, so I rather like that. I think it fits. I'm very happy to have Colton Hayes back, because I think Arsenal's a great character. So, yeah, it's going to be quite interesting to see where they go with the rest of that, but that looks quite good. Supergirl over on there returns for its fourth season, gave us the first glimpse of Sam Witwer, who's joining as the new big bad Agent Liberty, which was also announced. Agent Liberty is the charismatic but ruthless and terrifying founder of Human First Hate Group, Children of Liberty, a brilliant orator and in the guise of a family man, and the scariest thing about him is how easily he convinced people that he's right. So they've also announced the casting, as we mentioned earlier, of transgender actress Nicole Maines, who joins the show as transgender superhero Dreamer, aka Nia Nile, who joins Catco as a new reporter. Described as so wide-eyed and happy to be there. She has a ferocious drive to protect people and to stand up against discrimination. Interesting, as I say, I'm very happy that they've actually cast a transgender person as... in the role of the transgender hero. It's the first time, I think, anywhere we've had a transgender hero, which is really quite interesting. Sam Witwer, I think, he's fabulous. And voice of Dark Maul. And also was on Smallville as well. Played
Doomsday.
Doomsday in Smallville. That interesting version of Doomsday that they had on Smallville.
Yeah.
So Agent Liberty, I think, it could be interesting to see where they go with that next season. Over on Legends of Tomorrow, which I think is still my favourite out of all the shows, just because really? Of how wonderfully silly it is. Absolutely.
I mean, it's had one good season.
Come on.
It's had one good season. Last season was good. You can't convince me that season was anything other than trash.
I like the last couple of seasons, but last season was particularly good. Anything that has the a giant stuffed Bebo as the reason for defeating the villain at the end of it is all right by me, as far as I'm concerned. We already know that Matt Ryan is joining the show as John Constantine, so he's joining the Wave Rider. Ava Sharp, as head of the Time Bureau, is back as well. She's a new series regular. They've also announced that Ramon Young, who was in Santa Clarita Diet and Blockers, he's taking the role of Alaska Yu. Well, Tom Wilson, who was in The Informant, joins as Nate's father, Hank Haywood. I think Hank Haywood is going to be a recurring character, so he's not there permanently.
Yeah, he's just there as the recurring.
Character of Alaska Yu, it sounds like he's joining the team.
Yeah, that's what it seems. Judging by the character description.
They've also announced that Macy Richardson Sellers, who is back, but not as Vixen.
It doesn't seem to say whether she's going to be recurring or regular.
No, whether it's going to be a guest role or whether she's recurring. She's back, but playing a new character who is a rebel trickster named Charlie, who originates from a different dimension. I wonder if that's a sort of mix of Pickalypse kind of...
Whenever they say dimension, that's what you tend to go to.
Yeah.
Either that or like Music Master, whatever his name was.
Music Master was a different dimension as well. So, interesting way of bringing it back. It sounds like they may bring it back for a small arc or one or two episodes. I don't know. I don't think she's going to be back permanently. The trailer you see is mainly set in Woodstock, so we know they're going to Woodstock. They've also said they're going to cross paths with the Beatles in the 60s. The overarching story for this season is various magical creatures from myth, fairy tale, and legend that were released when the Legends defeated Malice using the giant Bebo.
Because of course that makes sense.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So that's the reason for John Constantine joining the team, which we sort of found out at the end of last season. So I'm very much looking forward to this. I love the fact that it's light. It doesn't take itself very seriously. It's fun. It's entertaining. I really enjoy this show. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to it coming
back. Also, we've got Courtney Ford returning as Nora Dark.
Oh, yeah. Courtney Ford. As a regular. So they're not entirely sure what that entails, whether she's going to end up being a sort of frenemy or whether she's going to end up being one of the big bads throughout the season.
I would suspect she's probably going to be more of a frenemy. I would probably work on that burgeoning thing with Ray.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Moving on from the DC shows, the last bit of big news that we have, and this was a whopper, out during San Diego Comic Con. They are rebooting Buffy the Vampire Slayer. With Joss Whedon and Monica Olsen-Breen. I'm kind of speechless. The positives from this is Joss is involved, whereas last time they tried to do a reboot, Joss wasn't involved. So that's a good thing. Monica Breen worked on various shows in genre. So she's worked on Midnight Texas. I think she created Midnight Texas, actually. Midnight Texas, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. she's written on, which is obviously where she knows Joss from. Fringe she wrote on, Alias she wrote on, Charmed. So she knows her genre TV reasonably well. She's working on the script with Joss, apparently. The main change in this is that the lead actress they're looking for is going to be African-American, which, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, is fine. It's neither here nor there, you know, but great. More diversity on TV is always a good thing. They are saying that the show would build on the mythology of the original series. Like Our World, it would be richly diverse, and like the original, some aspects of the series will be seen as metaphors for issues facing us all today.
That sounds a bit...
I guess that's what the original series of Buffy did. The thing that bothers me about this is Buffy, in its original form, continued then on in comic books and had like three seasons in comic book form.
I read some of those. They're crazy.
Yeah. yeah, they are crazy, but they're the kind of crazy you can only really get away with in either a big budget movie or in comic books. So
true.
That's great. And it carried on. I would just rather that they found a way of doing this within the existing Buffyverse rather than a reboot. And I think that would make a lot of fans a lot happier than them trying to reboot with it being a completely new Buffy. That just would make... I mean, you can still take all the same tropes. You could have it as a new Slayer. We ended the season with the power of the Slayer divided amongst a bunch of people. At some point in the current Buffy timeline, you have to find a way of pushing that back into one person, because there is a thing called Frey, which is a futuristic version of Buffy with a character called Frey. It's set in a future, and the power is concentrated back into one Slayer at that point. So there's no reason not to have it as another Slayer character and fit it within the existing Buffyverse. I would sort of prefer that they did that rather than reboot it entirely. But it sounds, or all the reports that are coming out at the moment are saying it's a reboot at the moment. Whether they've slightly got the wrong end of the stick with that, and whether it is actually going to be a continuation rather than a reboot, I don't know. But everything is saying it's a reboot at the moment. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I don't really have any. It's too early. Too early to jump in on it. I'll leave that on Twitter.
The reaction seems to be, well, yes, new Buffy is good. Rebooting it bad seems to be the general reaction.
I could definitely agree with that.
Yeah. What I'd actually love to see is a Frey series, because a Frey series would be quite interesting, because it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, basically, but set in the future. So it's Buffy with sci-fi elements. Frey's a great comic book if you've not read it. So, I mean, that would be one way of going, but it sounds like they're going back to girl in high school and all those sort of tropes. So we'll see. We'll see whether it develops into anything. It's coming from Fox TV, because they have the rights to it, which is possibly one of the reasons why it's not something like a Frey series, because they probably don't have the rights to Frey. They have the rights to Buffy. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm in very, very mixed minds about what that should be. Oh, well, that's all the news we have from SDCC. We're going to skip over the interview this week, because we're already running fairly long on the podcast, and we'll go straight onto highlights for next week on TV. Highlights for next week on TV. We have a few new shows coming and a few returning things. White Famous is one new show. That's season one of that coming to Sky Atlantic on the 25th of July at 11:05. It's a comedy series based on the life of Jamie Foxx, apparently. It stars Jay Farrow. I don't know no more about it than that, but yeah, there's one to go watch if you want to see that. Bletchley Circle San Francisco, which is a spin-off of the Bletchley Circle series. This one's set in the 50s in San Francisco, as the title would rather suggest. Coming to ITV on the 25th of July at 9 p.m, that one. Sick Note, season two of that comedy starring Rupert Grint, Nick Frost and Don Johnson. That is coming on the 26th of July at 10 p.m. to Sky One. Orange is the New Black, season six of that, coming to Netflix on the 27th of July. I'm very much looking forward to that coming back, because I think it really found its feet again. Season four was a bit shaky. Season five, I think it came back on form. Season six sees them all moved out of the ladies' prison and moved into a max security prison. So that's going to be interesting, because it's all change over there. Cool. And as we mentioned earlier, Winona Earp is coming. Season three of that coming to Five Spike on the 27th of July at 10 p.m. So that's everything. I think there's plenty packed in there for you. If you want to find Daryl, you can find him at
Shaftsword on Twitter, which is S-H-A-F-T-S-W-O-R-D.
Yep.
You can find me writing on Hollywood News Source and doing recaps on Starry Mag.
So go and check out those for Daryl's work. For us, you can check out all the stuff from San Diego Comic Con, which we've been posting a lot of stuff this last few days. That's all on geektown.co.uk. Have a look throughout the week for all the latest airdate info and current TV news. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That's everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.